There's a lot of talk about hate in the world. We need to talk more about love. You're God. Hallelujah. You're God. Your strength. Your hope for tomorrow. Amen. And then the hope to be with those you love. I met somebody last week, so distressed. He said, Well, I know my family when I get to heaven because somebody in their church told them no. And I just said, oh Lord, got work to do. God said, all things added. Amen. He said, eyes have pierced. You can't even imagine, the Bible says, how beautiful the place is God for you. And I'm thinking, if it's that beautiful, why would he not have those we love there waiting for us? Amen. Who would tell somebody that our God would hold that back? He doesn't know. He gave his son dead on the cross for our sins. Amen. Why would he hold something like that back? We got a lot of work to do, even in churches. Amen. You got to get fed. Give him praise, church.
Thank you.
morning. Let peace fill it. And be open to what we're going to read today and just enjoy God's word. Amen. Joanne, bring us into church on a Sunday in November.
God can and God will. Can I get an amen? Enjoy church. Enjoy the fellowship. Look around at your brothers and sisters. Lift each other up. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together. In God's house. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Deliver us from evil. Amen. So we're not going to fear any evil. Amen. We're going to show what God is all about. We're going to show love. When somebody comes against you, what do? Show love. Amen. You put that back to them and you win the battle. I also want to say for Deacon Chuck and Marilyn, one of his longest lifetime friends is in hospice or going to hospice. And I know the sadness. I just know the sadness. And so we're going to pray for them. Pray for you, Chuck, to just know that this is just a part of the journey. We've been saying that. What we said to Miss Elaine. And I mean, you were all preaching to me a couple of weeks ago at my brother's memorial. We have hope for tomorrow. Amen. That's the God that we serve. That we have hope for tomorrow. We're going to miss. And boy, I miss my brother. I do. And I miss my mom and dad. And my wife misses her mom. And I mean, we miss. Amen, Miss Robin. We miss. But the joy is knowing where tomorrow is. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is the thing about I love about our God. Listen. There's a lot of people that don't believe Him, don't believe in Him, don't even want to know the Word of God. But when God shines, when we make God shine, when we stand up for God and we show that kind of love, everybody gets blessed. Amen? Everybody, believers, non-believers, atheists, whatever you're living in the world, when we make God to shine, when we put that light out there and He shines down, everybody receives blessings. Amen. The fruit of our labor is eaten by so many others. And because our God is a great God, you just got to know Him better. Right? How much you know Him or don't know Him is up to you. Amen. But He's a great God who wants to know you. Who does He want to know? You. He wants to know you, Bill Kohler. He doesn't worry about it. He wants you to know, how you doing today? That's what He wants. That's the God that we love and serve. Let's read together. Hallelujah. I'm going to read. Bolton's getting so big, Marilyn. I just can't. Praise the Lord. You got to get things into her on a Monday now, for sure. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That's you. And gathered out the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. He delivered them, amen, and He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, church. Let it be heard. Let it be heard today. Testimony, and I had a different one, but yesterday we went to eat at a diner, and I think God put us at a table where we hardly never sit. And sat behind us were, I'd say, eight girls from the swim team, from college and from high school, from the Newtown High. They were sitting behind us. One girl says, when you die, that's all there is. Another girl said, I go to church twice a year, and it's against my will that I go. Another girl says, well, don't you believe in God? She said, nope. I have no time for God. There's nothing in my life that represents God. Amen. Well, I can't remember some of the... Yeah, one girl said, did she go, what do you believe? And the girl said, I believe when you die, that's all there is. And I just was so sad. You don't get upset. It's sad. These young girls, probably between the age of 16 and 19, all sitting there. Yeah, you're right. One girl said, you know, one girl said this. What do you do in church? What do they do in church? We're losing it, amen? Our children are saying that. Our children are saying, what do you do in church? And do I blame some churches? I do. I blame like that deacon who told the woman, well, you really don't know your loved ones in heaven. I said, why would you say that? Amen? Why would you say that? And then I blame people on TV, and I'm just being honest. Amen? I believe the people who say on TV, if you seed $1,000 to me, God's going to bless you. I've seen that 2 weeks in a row. Said, you seed me $1,000. The man, and he stops the sermon. Said, you seed me $1,000 and God will pour blessings out on you. And I say, find it. Show me. Because you know what one of the girls said? All they want is money. That's all the churches want is money. I don't know if somebody, if a priest or pastor had a brand new yellow car, sports car, and remodeling his house. I thought that priests and stuff were supposed to be poor. That's what they said. They're taking God out of everything, and we're left to deal with it at home. Amen? And I got to tell you, moms and dads, they weren't doing a good job. I don't know. They're beautiful girls. They were beautiful girls, tall, and they're all swimmers, and they've got so much in front of them. But as far as God goes, empty vessels. Amen? Not even empty that I could preach to them. Empty to the point that they already knew. There's nothing there. What do you do in church? When you die, that's all there is. And I said, Lord, I just pray for her soul. Because she's so young. The first time something happens, she comes home one day and her mama says, I'm very sick. Where's she going to go? She comes home one day and her dad says, I'm very sick. Where's she going to go? See, her life has been peaches and cream. Amen. She said, well, I only went to church twice. And that was every month, a year, and it's against my will. I'm thinking, against your will? Your mama raised you. You they clothe you. They feed you. They do all these beautiful things for you. What will? What do you do? What do you do that's against your will? Amen? And it's the truth. This is why I'm telling you this testimony today. Dominic, you would have been sitting next to me knowing like you know the Word of God. And there was nothing I could say because it wasn't my place. But I just knew that God set me there so I could hear what these children... They're taking God out of school. Amen? You can't even read your Bible in school. And that's why. Why is it not okay to read your Bible in school? But you can listen to music with lyrics that are an abomination to everybody's ears. Amen? Why is it? Why are we taking the one thing that could save us, the one thing that could save our lives, even if this wasn't real? I'll tell you, even if this wasn't real, the hope that it brings you through your life, the peace that it brings you through your life, the comfort that it brings you, amen, lifts you up. How many want to be lifted up every day? Or you want to be criticized every day? Amen? No, right? Even if this wasn't real, it's something with strength for your children. Say, you know, God is with me. I'm going to take a test today, but God is with me. I studied, and God's going to... I'm going to go apply for a job, but God is with me. They say, well, you know, there's not a lot of work. See, yeah, but I got a great God, see? I got a God that's going to open up a door. And he doesn't just do it for me. He'll do it for anybody who knocks at the door, amen? But they go there, and they fill out this application, and they have confidence in the application because God is with them. They're not alone, amen? That alone is a foundation to build upon. That's why we need more of God in our lives. You need to tell your children. You need to. The first thing I said is, Madison's got to go to church every Sunday. She's got to go to church. Now, they talk about God. She's got church in her life. They've been going to. They're trying to find the right church. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it made my heart say, we've got to do more for our children. Amen. Not just for the world, but for their lives. Amen. And that's the testimony. See, it's real out there. When you take God and remove him, something else fills the void. Amen. And if it's not good, then what is it? You amen. When you see those people who are killing other people, and you look in their eyes, you say, there's no spirit there. There's no joy. There's no peace. Amen? There's no hope for tomorrow. And they don't even know what they believe because they're sending their children off to be killed. And they're sending the women off to be killed. And I said, what's the answer to that? What are they searching for? Because they're lost. Satan has them right where he wants them. Amen? And that's why we need to let the light shine. And it starts here. Amen? When this church... The light shines brighter. It draws other people to God, and it changes lives in the best of ways. Let's pray together, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have this chance to know you, to read your word, to find that comfort in you. Even when we doubt, Lord, we can search deeper to find our truths, to take this word and just enjoy it. Some folks like history, so right in the Old Testament is history, to study and search and find those places to be real, find those kings to be real people. David, Nebuchadnezzar, Samuel, the prophets, Moses, they were real. They were talking about God. They were lifting up God. They were giving us a hope for tomorrow. Our Jesus is real. He lives. Our God lives. He lives. He wants to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to take away the edge of death, the pain of losing. And he's done that over and over and over. And all I ask is that we love him, that we lean on him, that we know more about him. You want to give your children something for Christmas this year, your grandchildren something for Christmas this year. You want to give them something so important. Give them hope for the next day. Give them a reason to know that they're not alone. Show them that God is real. by praising Him for what you have and the things He's done in your life. Give them that. Give them the hope of tomorrow with the Lord. And let them build on that foundation when they go to school, when they go to work, when they become parents. They will be good teachers to their children because you planted the seed of God. And you'll see that fruit. You'll see it every day in your friends that draw closer to you because you talk good things, not hateful things. They'll draw closer to you because you lift up. They'll draw closer to you because you comfort them. Because when they're around you, they feel joy. They will be drawn to you. You'll be doing the work of the Lord. And you'll see it in your life, in your relationship with your wife and your husband. You'll see that growing stronger. Because it comes down from above. And your focus is on Him. We have an awesome God who just simply loves us. Who left us with this book. To just learn, enjoy, and just be guided by. What a gift. So I ask you, Lord, to bless this church and lift these souls up today and these hearts up today and light a fire inside of them that nobody will be able to put out. They're searching for you and hungering more for you than whatever they have today. God says tomorrow it could be better. Let them reach for that. In Jesus' name I pray. I pray that, Lord. Give Him praise, church. Come on. Well, I welcome our new friends and some folks maybe haven't been here in a while. I haven't seen you. I ask for praise for one simple reason. Because the Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. God inhabits the praise of His people. So as we pray Him and we praise Him, He inhabits this church. He is with us this morning. Amen. And that is joy enough. Hallelujah. So you just go ahead and praise Him and clap and just enjoy church. I have this book, Haley's book. Now we have them in the church, Deacon. Yes, we still have some more Haley's. These are Haley's Bible Handbook. I've had this for years. This is an awesome book. All it does is go through the Bible, and it also explains things in the Bible to help you understand each book. And it also talks about history. How many like history? Anybody here history buffs? You start looking at Haley's book, and it'll start talking about history and things that were found, historic things. Tombs that were found, things that were found to confirm the Bible. Amen. The more you learn that the Bible is real, the more you want to read it. The more you learn that the stories in the Bible are real, the more you understand God. And this wonderful book is a beautiful little guide. I give this testimony, and if you don't have one, I say we have enough here. You ought to get one because it helps you read the Bible. Now, anybody here ever get insomnia where you can't sleep at night? Oh, really? Good. No. This book is medicine for that. Do you know that you open up the Bible, especially the Bibles that we have, and you could take a look at them, the learning Bibles that we have. It actually helps you. You can't sleep at night and you're all laying in bed or you're frustrated. You go sit on the couch and open up the Bible. Open up to John. Open up to James. Open up to Peter. And I'll tell you even something more exciting. Open up the Old Testament. Dominic, you study the Old Testament a lot. Hello, that was the first one. I went to school. That was the first thing I learned, the doctrine of the Old Testament. Because at first I used to say, there's not what's in there in the Old Testament? It's just old stuff. That's how I felt when I first went to church. And then I realized, it's history, archaeology, all these beautiful things that were real to study. And I tell you, if you can't sleep at night, open up to Samuel and read about Samuel. Read about David. Read about the adventures of David, however you want to say it. You start reading about David and Goliath. You start reading about David and how his brothers put him down for what he wanted to do. They laughed at him because he was the baby. Anybody in the baby understand what that's like, getting laughed at because you're the baby of the family? That was me. That was me. My brother Johnny said, I'm sorry, but he used to say, you're nothing without your guitar. He said, we go to a restaurant and sit down together. The waitress come over. He said, don't even bother. You're nothing without your guitar. See? But see, David had the same problem with his brothers because David stood on the word of God and they laughed at him. Amen. And then Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. And that's another story you could read. I'm telling you the truth. If you can't sleep at night, open up the Old Testament and just start going through things. And then open up Haley's book and start looking at a little things and you'll say, oh, there it is. Let me open up the Bible and read about that. Because with understanding comes knowledge. Amen. And when you have knowledge about God, you're not the same anymore. You're not the same when you face trials and tribulations. And so I tell you, between this Haley's book and the Bible, you don't have to pay for medication to sleep. And it's almost like, well, you mean God's getting so boring he'll put you to sleep? No. It's so peaceful. Amen. Deacon Gary, when you're doing your study, it's peaceful. You get so excited and you look and it's an hour later and you say, I don't want to stop because I'm learning something. How many know that I don't know everything? Please. How many know that there's smarter people than me in the world? Smarter people than me in the church. Amen. But I love God so much. So much. I love him so much that I never want to stop telling you the good of God. I want you to understand how he loves us. Amen. I love him. I mean, I truly give him thanks for everything that I have every day. My wife will tell you, I get in the van. Thank you, Lord. I touch the van. Lord, be with angels be around us, Lord. Amen. Does that mean that bad things won't happen to me? Of course not. But when they do, I have somebody to stand with me and stand and lift me up. Amen. I love God. Yeah, there's people smarter than me. I don't want to be the smartest person in the world because that person doesn't need God. So he thinks. So it says in this book, I'm going to read from Judges, the book of Judges. And I think I'm going to get political. Can I get political on you for 10 minutes? Not in the way you think, trust me. But I'm saying, the Hebrew nation, after the death of Joshua, had no strong central government. They were a confederacy of 12 independent tribes with no unifying force except their God. Except who? Hallelujah. The form of government in the days of the judges is spoken of as a theocracy. That is, God himself was supposed to be the direct ruler of the nation. But the people did not take their God very seriously and were continually falling away into idolatry. Being in a state of anarchy, more or less, and harassed at times by civil war amongst themselves and surrounded by enemies who made attempt after attempt to exterminate them. Read that. Listen to this again. I'm talking hundreds of years before Jesus. Being in a state of anarchy, more or less, and harassed at times by civil war among themselves and surrounded by enemies who made attempt after attempt to exterminate them, the Hebrew nation was very slow in its national development and did not become a great nation till it was organized into a kingdom in the days of Samuel and David. When you understand that and then you start reading about the book of Judges, you kind of get an idea what it's talking about. Amen. And you can put this story today in your house. As I read about this, I want you to take it to your house and how you need to focus more on who? You need to draw him into your house. You need to let God have control of your house and your home, amen, and your heart. And this is what this story is about. And this is Samuel, 1 Samuel 8. Dominic, I'm going to get political now, okay? Amen. Oh, let me just, thank you. I'm so excited. This is so cool. In the old days, the priests were regularly appointed religious teachers. They were mostly hereditary class, amen? In other words, the priest in the Old Testament was, my father was a priest, my uncle's a priest, I'll be a priest, amen? So it became that it wasn't a calling. Are you with me? It's like if somebody, and your father was a carpenter, you became a, hallelujah. Your father was a plumber, you know, it was hereditary that they became teachers and priests. But it says they were religious teachers, But instead of crying out against sin, they fell into sin itself. And you say, how could they fall into sin? Easy. Power. Amen. Control, importance, self-importance, and judgment, judgmental, putting burdens on and blame on others. They were not, listen, I got to tell you this, and I love this. They were not Catholic priests. Say that with me. They were not Catholic priests. The church was hundreds and hundreds of years in the making. Amen. They were not. Don't confuse them. These priests were hundreds of years before Jesus, and hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years before the Romans established their religion. Amen. So these were not Catholic. I just wanted to get. Now the prophets, say that with me, prophets. Hallelujah. Were called by God. Who were they called by? Hallelujah. They were. Some were shepherds, some were royal in blood, and some, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, were priests. And they had one job. The prophets had one job. To save the nation from idolatry and wickedness, amen? From false gods, from soothsayers, from magicians, from mixed messages, love of flesh, the love of money, the love of power. Idolatry, let me tell you what idolatry is, because it's very important to this, is anything that takes our eyes off of God or puts anything equal to God and His Word, amen? And they fell into this. Money was their idolatry. The love of the flesh was their, power was their idolatry, amen? They became so powerful and so into themselves that they forgot about who? Hallelujah. So when you read the Bible and you read about the magicians and the soothsayers and all those people, and you understand that they were from Him down below, amen? They weren't from God. You start to say, I need to focus on God, because if I mess up and focus on something that's not from God, what does happen? Amen. So, I want you to put this into this today also, because this, even though this was thousands of years ago, here in 2015 at 6. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborns were Joel, and the name of his second Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in their ways and turned aside. After dishonest gain, they took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Listen to what they said. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Well, what's the first sin right there? Who wants to be like all the nations? You understand what they just said? We want a king to judge us like all the other nations. What do we say in this country? We're what? How many nations? Under who? And they wanted, they telling Samuel, we want a judge to judge us like they do in all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. I want you to listen to what God says. And God the Father, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the days that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing so also to you. Amen? You see it every day. Amen? Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words to the Lord of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And Samuel said this, there will be behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captain over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. You get what he's saying here? You want a king? He's going to take from you. For who? For himself. When God gives, he gives to who? He gives to all. But he's telling them. Samuel's telling them. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your field, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. You notice how many times I say the word his, not God. And you will cry out in that day. Listen to what he's saying. Samuel is going to say, and you will cry out in that day because of your king, who you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. 8:19 says this, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. How many see that today in the world? We know that we need God, but they refuse. Amen? You see it? They refuse. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. Politics. Who is leading them? God. How God brought them out so many problems and so many tribulations. So many things in your life. How many times have God brought you out of them? But what did they want? They weren't happy with God anymore. They couldn't see him, so it was hard for them to think he was real. So what did they want? Kings. They wanted somebody to rule over them. How many things did God take from them? Nothing. And Samuel explained how many things that the king would take from them. Their children, their horses, their vineyards, their fruit. How many laborers that he would take from them. For who? For the king. This is a great story, but you can't sleep. This is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 10:17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, listen to what God says. I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms. How many kingdoms? And from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and from your tribulations. And you have said to him, no. Set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And then we go to 12:17. And this is for closing. This is Samuel talking to them again after all that he said. Samuel said, I'm going to start from 12:1. I think Dominic. Now Samuel said to all of Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-haired. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Now listen to what he said. Here am I. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. Politics. Amen. Listen to what he's saying. Here am I, witness against me before the Lord. He's telling him, whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Who am I cheated? Who have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, who said it? You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witnessed. And Samuel goes on to say, is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking a king for yourselves. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people, how many people? Said to Samuel, listen, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil and asking a king for ourselves. I tell you this, whoever you want in power, we need to know how much they love him. Amen. He doesn't have to live his life. He doesn't have to be a churchgoer every Sunday. But we need to know how much he knows the God. Amen. There are God in heaven. We need to know where he stands. We need to know how he's going to lift us up with our God. Amen. Not take our God away. We got somebody, you know, that takes our God away. We're going to be in trouble. Amen. So when you talk about people and you talk about politics, you remember this story. God says, I have blessed your lives. He's looking at you and said, I have blessed you with so much. I have given you so much. Why do you want somebody else to take away what I've given? Why do you give somebody a position where they can do that? That's where the politics, you have to understand in yourself. Don't worry about letters and where they're from and everything. You have to listen to what they're saying. Amen? I don't care if they're not a priest or an evangelist, but I want to know, do they love our God? Do they worship our God? Do they understand our God? Do they believe our God? Because you see everything that's happening in the world, amen? And all these things are happening because we're taking who out of the world? Amen. We got to stand up as Christians and say, we can't have that. But the only voice we have is in choosing people who understand that, who are saying, you know, I don't believe in that God, but I don't want to take your God away. I would like to receive blessings. If he's going to bless you, I want to receive blessings too. Instead of saying, I'm offended by your God, I'm taking him away. Amen. We need to stand up and say, you know, God needs to be in control. Are you with me? These people saw it. Listen to what they said. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God. How many times have you heard after a catastrophe, people say, we need to pray. Amen. To who, I ask you? When they all say that, I say, well, who are you going to pray to? Because you never say Jesus. So we need to pray. And they're asking, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king over ourselves. Now here's the good news, and I'll close with this. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. What did he say? So I tell you this morning, do not fear. Do not get caught up in the fear. Do not get caught up in all the things around you. Do not fear. You have done all this, he said. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Amen. Anything that's not God is what? Nothing. Any soothsayer that you see is what? Nothing. Any fortune teller you see is nothing. Anybody that preaches anything but God is nothing. Amen. You have to understand, if you want God to lead you, you must remove the things that are nothing. Amen. He's saying that. For the Lord will not forsake his people. You should be cheering right there. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. And it says 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. We don't look at a religion. We look at the heart of a believer. Amen. We must look at the heart of the believer. With God, we are blessed. Without God, we are lost. He wants to serve you and love you in every aspect of your life. You must throw away anything of importance that's not of him, so that he can fill that void. Amen. Anything that he can fill and you remove is God blessing your life. Amen. Give him praise and glory. He won't have it. God is good. All the time, God is good. Bob's back in the audience. And hi, Bob. He's God. We got a picture of little Mason the other day. We got a picture of our new grandson. And he had a blanket wrapped around him. It was the blanket that Chen had given to us to give to Mason. So she sent the email. She sent the Facebook to Chen. And he sent back an absolutely beautiful Facebook. He's doing well. He misses us here. He wants to be back with us in the United States of America. Gary, he said, you know, over a year. He thinks it might be over a year before he can come back. But he was so touched that he saw the baby in the blanket that he bought and given to us. And so Chen wants to send his love. And I said, everybody say hi, Chen. Hallelujah. And I want you to, I want each and every one of us to do this. I want you to see David sitting over there. David and Cindy. I want you to see them. They're not there. I want you to see them there. Amen. I want you to see them there. Dave, I would just hope I can. He's so. His faith is like, I can't. He just, he preaching to me while he's sick. Amen. David is fighting what he, but he's going to be victorious. Amen. But in the preaching, he's preaching to me about what he's going through. But God says you got to use wisdom, right, Deacon Gary? So he was coming to church, and you notice he wasn't shaking anybody's hand. He was like, so he came to church for a couple of weeks, and then so he thought, well, I'll go to Home Depot, and I can go grocery shopping, and I can go over here. Well, he ran a fever this week. They had to rush him to the hospital. He's back home. He's got the rock with him. He's got Cindy sitting next to him. She ain't going to leave his side. But hallelujah. But he said, I want you to see him sitting there every week. He said, he ain't leaving the house till it's over. Amen. Till he's victorious. And he said, well, that's probably better than going to Home Depot and other places around sick people. Amen. So I just want to lift him up. And so he is right here praying with us. And we believe in him. We just need to see him and Cindy sitting there every week. And when he walks in, it'll be a testimony to God. Amen. And the second congregation will have a victory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Song, ladies. Count your blessings. Amen. God's in control. Amen. God is in control. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. You have to give it to him. You have to give him as much of you as you can so he can fight each and every battle with you. That's beautiful. We should read that in church. I have, before we do the Lord's Supper, Fred and Nancy, well, she said Nancy. Nancy put Fred's name on it too, so he got almost equal billing. It's a gift from Fred and Nancy. It's an invitation. And the invitation says, you are invited to come dine with me from now through all eternity. Believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and dine with Jesus as your host. To live in heaven eternally, all you must do this. RSVP. We'll find a home for that in the church, and you can all come and read that and see that. Shall we dine with Jesus? Let's do the Lord's Supper. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you read that word of God, even that from the book of Samuel. It's a story that you'll enjoy reading, and the more you understand it, the more you'll read it again and again just to see God and see how he treats his people and see how every time we pull away, when we draw back, God accepts us. That's our God, the God of love. And it all starts with us because of Jesus. Let's dine with the Lord. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, told his disciples, this is my body being torn for you. And he said, eat and do this in remembrance of him. And I have to tell you that the disciples, Dale had no idea what he was talking about. But we do, amen? And we do this in this church. In remembrance of our Lord and Savior. It's a great time to talk to God. It's a great time just to talk to God and say, Lord, I'm confused, or I want to know for sure. I want to know more. Lord, help me to be stronger. He'll answer those prayers. If you just give him that much, he'll answer those prayers. He said, Lord, I can't sleep at night. He said, son, daughter, take my word. Just read my word. Read the gentleness of my word. Read from John. Let John talk to you about God. Praise the Lord. Those of you that have children, had a lot of children, you know there's always one that spends more time with you. There's always that child that just wants to be in your presence. It was like that with my daddy. I know my wife was like that with her mama. Praise God. And having that child, you know that you spoke so much more to that child. If you have a grandson, a granddaughter, a brother that you spoke to more than others, you know that you shared more with them. Amen? John, the Apostle John, just wanted to be with Jesus. His whole heart was to be with Jesus, always talking to Jesus. So Jesus was able to tell him things he didn't tell the other apostles, Pat, because they didn't give him time. So when you open up the Bible and you can't sleep tonight, open up to John and read what he says about the God that he spent so much time with, about the Jesus he spent so much time with. Miss Pat is so comforting to hear because he's an eyewitness. And he loved him. The other disciples called him the disciple whom Jesus loved. They didn't even call him John. In a sense, they were envious of something they didn't need to be envious about at all. That John just chose to spend more time with Jesus than they did. They went about their business. He went about Jesus. Sometimes our country needs to go about Jesus and not so much of the business. Our church needs to go more about Jesus and not so much about the business. Amen? We've got business to take care of, but we need to know that without Jesus, we have nothing to take care of. Go get him, Marilyn.
Call the baker and the candlestick man.
Told you. Faith. Faith moves mountains. Amen? Faith moves mountains. I have one. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon. Faith. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We didn't ask him to do it. We didn't earn the right to have him do it. We didn't work hard for him to do it. He did it because he loved us first. And simply ask that we do this in remembrance of him for what he did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name. Anybody have any problems today they're dealing with? It's a good time to talk to God because you are in such a place now. As we lift up, as he did the wine and poured it into a cup, blessing it, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." For the next 2 minutes, as it takes these deacons to get this to you, this is a good time to talk to him about those things that are on your heart. You are in the will of God. As close as you're going to be all week. Thank you, Deacon. Well, Dominic, do you spend much time in the... I got to where the old... I started reading the Old Testament even more than the New Testament because it was just... I kept learning, and the more I learned that became real, brought me back to the New Testament to read it again differently. Just to know those places are real, those things that they're discovering are real, it makes my Bible real. And the peace... And the comfort. And the action. Whatever you like is in that Old Testament. Yeah. I haven't seen you. Give thanks. I'm thankful that Bob's back this week. called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I will heal their land. God, the Father, I will heal their land. He will do the work. We need to humble ourselves and pray. He will heal our land. Just as the piano player was playing, simply this morning, give thanks in Jesus' name. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We need to let our light shine on our children. We need to have dinner with our children more often. We need to have time with our friends and lift each other up with comfort and strength in the Lord. Tell everybody the blessings that God has blessed you with, the miracles that He's carried you through, the prayers that were answered, and the ones you're waiting to hear answered and see answered, knowing that God is a God who gives, who loves, just cares for us. In Jesus' name, give Him